Welcome and good morning. This is Pastor Eric, and we're here on May 10th, worshiping together, virtually together. Hopefully you're all in your living rooms or your homes. Maybe some of you actually are able to be outside on your patio or your deck. But we give greetings and especially celebrate today as Mother's Day. So for all the mothers and everyone who's ever done any mothering, we give a shout out and a hurrah and just give thanks for all the mothers in the world. Today, we continue with our services. Some of you were able to get by the church this last week when we had a huge tent structure over the whole church for the termite fumigation. It happened very quickly. It went very smoothly, and the tent's down. So if you missed it, you can go on the email. The weekly update email has some pictures of that. And that will be one place you could see a few pictures. But hopefully the termites are gone and the space is clean. We're inside the church now, so it's a clean space for us. And thanks to everyone who was involved and spent their time and energies in prepping for this work and helping to get it done. So it's behind us and we're moving forward on that front. And so this is a time we usually greet one another, passing the peace of Christ. We can't do that now in person, but if there's someone that you're with in your home, please extend the peace of Christ with them, and we can extend that and send it forth to all our brothers and sisters virtually.
Please join me in the call to worship. This is a responsive reading, and you can follow along on the church podcast site. Welcome home, people of God. We have come to find refuge in the shelter of God's care. Come and sit down. There is room for everyone in God's house. We have come to be nourished by God's word. We are God's own people and are precious in God's sight. We have come to give thanks for God's faithful love. I will be reading the opening prayer. We gather today, O God, our guide and guardian, remembering those who have nurtured us, protected us, and helped us grow. We give you thanks for homes that accept us and affirmed us as your precious children. In the shelter of your healing love, fortify us as living stones and build us into a spiritual home where all are welcome. In the name of Christ, our foundation and cornerstone, we pray. Amen. Marilyn will now be playing hymn number 545, The Church's One Foundation.
us pray. God of light, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Reading from 1 Peter, 2nd chapter, 2 through 10. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen, and precious in God's sight. And, like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "See, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." To you then who believe, he is precious, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they obey the word as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This ends the reading.
Our second reading comes today from the Gospel of John, reading from the 14th chapter. Hear the lively word of God. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. Henceforth, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we shall be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and yet you do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father, has seen God. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does God's works. Believe me that I am in God and God in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Truly, truly I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will they do, because I go to God. Here ends the reading. How do I love you? Let me count the ways. 1, 2, 3, 4. Aha! One of the great moments in the movie Roger Rabbit. Now, some of us know that question comes from the great bard Will Shakespeare himself. Others of us learned after the movie where it came from. And some of us still think it's original to Roger. It's a wonderful example of using a classic line, which creates in itself a whole context of memory and understanding in a contemporary situation, giving it a whole new meaning and appreciation. There's a passage in our reading from John today that has always intrigued me. I wonder if it's raised questions in your mind. It's the 12th verse where Jesus says to his disciples, "The work that I do, you shall do." And then he adds this, "And greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father, to God." Now, I don't know about you, but I don't often feel like I do or am able to do the work that Jesus did. Why is it that we can't do what Jesus did? The works that Jesus did were amazing. He walked on water. He healed the blind. He made the lame to walk. He even raised up the dead. If Jesus was for real in his statement, then we should be able to do the things that Jesus did. And listen to this, greater works we should be able to do because he has gone to be with God. Now, I've never actually seen any of those so-called miracle workers, either on television or in real life, although I've read about them. Perhaps you've seen them or read about them, those who have healed people. I believe in healing. Some of us may know people who have been miraculously healed by the grace of God, which we usually label unexplainable. I believe in healing, but I have never known of anybody who could match Jesus. I've never known of anybody who could measure up to the works of Jesus. And yet, this is what he says. See what I am doing? What I am doing, you'll be able to do. And then he adds, and greater works than these shall you do because I go to God. If you ask some folk about this, about why we can't heal and these other things, well, they'll say it's because we don't have enough faith. Well, that doesn't quite wash with me because Jesus doesn't say you might do it if you have enough faith. He says you will do it. I think that the problem is this, that we are so impressed with the power of God that we fail to see that the miracles are not about Jesus' power, but about Jesus' love. What Jesus did, he did not so much to demonstrate his power, but rather to express his love. How many times does he perform a miracle and say to the people who benefit, now don't tell anybody, keep it quiet. I don't want people to get the wrong idea. Jesus broke into history not to demonstrate his power. He came to express his love. That's what his miracles were about. In the first of the miracles at the Cana feast, at the wedding feast at Cana, he and his disciples, they arrived at this wedding. They were about halfway through the thing and they were running out of wine. The father was distraught. He didn't know what happened. He thought he had enough wine. He mortgaged the house. He took all the money out of the bank. But this rabbi from Nazareth showed up with his disciples and they'd been guzzling all afternoon. That's probably what went on. The young bride was in tears. The new husband was perplexed. They don't know what to do. See, for the ancient world, to run out of wine in the middle of a feast was to be disgraced publicly. So Mary went over to Jesus and she nudged him. Do something. I can just hear her saying, do something. Come on, do something. And Jesus said, what have I to do with you, woman? Which is an ancient way of saying, Mom, get off my back. So young people, if your mother is driving you up a wall, answer as Jesus would say, what have I to do with you, woman? That'll go over real big, I assure you. Not. But I can just hear Mary saying, can't you? You never have lived up to your potential. You think you're the only one who has a mother like that? Jesus had never performed a miracle, but at his mother's urging, he performs one. He calls for them to bring in containers. He fills them with water, and he turns the water into wine. Not to show his power, but to express his love for people who are in a difficult situation. He didn't do it for his power. He did it to express his love. And this is what the gospel is about. It's about love. We can't duplicate the power of Jesus. I mean, we can't walk on water. I don't have the ability to raise people up from the dead, and neither do you. But this we do have, the opportunity to express the love of Jesus. And when it comes to the bottom line, Jesus was more committed to expressing love than showing off his power. I have a story I want to share. It's told by Anthony Campola, a preacher and teacher now retired, about an experience he had at a little airport in Farmington, New Mexico. He shares how he was waiting to board a plane that would take him to Denver, where he could then head on home back east. And as he was waiting, there was an elderly woman sitting in the place. She looked mean, she looked unhappy, and he was determined to do something about it. And so he started joking with her. It was hard to get a smile out of her, but he finally did. And when the dike broke, she laughed convulsively. As a matter of fact, she laughed so hard that Anthony thought she was going to pass out. She finally said, "Stop, stop." And the others in the airport, the four or five men that were there they gathered around, and they all began to have a good time with this old lady. The little commuter flight arrived, and she hugged her friend and left. Anthony waited for them to call him to board the plane, and as he waited, he looked out the window and saw the woman's car coming back up the lane. The old woman got out of the car and shuffled back into the airport. She came up to Anthony and she said, "Mister, you couldn't have possibly known this, but it was 3 years ago today that my husband of 54 years died. And I didn't realize it until I was halfway home that today was the first day since then that I have been able to laugh. I wanted to come back and thank you." Now, I know what you are going to say. You're not going to compare that with Jesus walking on water. Well, no, I'm not, for very obvious reasons. If Jesus was to make a decision, which is the greater work, walking on water or giving joy and laughter to a grieving widow, which do you think Jesus would consider the greater work, walking on water or ministering to that woman? And Jesus said, "The work that I do, you shall do, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go to God." I can't replicate the power, acts of God in Jesus Christ, but every time I perform an act of love in His name, I am imitating Jesus, and He is saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant." You see, Jesus did perform miracles, and I believe He still does. But there's something even greater than miracles that Jesus has called us to do. Jesus has called us to be instruments of His love to people who need to experience love. And when we do those things, these acts of love are greater than the work that He did when He walked on water. But there's even a deeper meaning to that verse than that. Here it is. When Jesus was here in the flesh, He was only able to look into the eyes of one person at a time, only able to express love personally to one person at a time. But He has ascended to be with God. However you understand that, I take it to mean He became one with the divine. And He comes back to us, or connects with us as Spirit, the Holy Spirit that comes into our lives and fills us and drives us to love. And now, if thousands and thousands of people go out tomorrow morning and each of them performs one act of love in His name, then I think it can be said, you can hear Jesus uttering these words: "The work that I do, you are doing. And you're doing it greater than I did it, because thousands are greater than one. I could only love one person face to face at the time, but there are thousands, even millions of you now. And each of you at any given moment can love someone intimately and powerfully in my name." Jesus calls us to do the kinds of things that He did. Every one of His miracles was an act of love. A funeral is coming out of Nain. There's a young dead man, and Jesus raises him up, not because He wants to show off His power. He says to the woman who is a widow and has now lost her only son, "Take your boy home with you." He does what He does, not to show off how powerful He is, but in order to demonstrate how loving He is. In that case, saving a widow from probable destitution and starvation on the street. When you accept Jesus into your life, it's not just so that you're now ready to go to heaven by and by. Jesus saves you from separation and alienation, sin, if you like, and fills you with His presence that through you, His love might be expressed to all those people that you meet day in and day out who need your love and need it so desperately. Let me quote the scripture one more time. Jesus says to His disciples, even as He says to you and me, "The work that I do, you shall do, And greater works than these shall you do, because I go to God. May each of us live out this verse, and may it be said of you, he did or she did the work that Jesus would have done if Jesus was here in the flesh. It's in that context that we have authority when we declare the good news of what Jesus did for us. May God bless us and do great things through each of us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Marilyn will now be playing hymn number 399, Take My Life.
This is a time we share in prayer those joys and concerns that we have with our community. I would ask you, all of you that at home, to name those that you people or situations that you would have us pray for. Dear God, hear these prayers. I ask that you, O Sacred One, Prophetic One, Creator of us all, you call us to new places and new ways. You challenge us to dance new steps and to sing new songs. We yearn to follow you with confidence and joy, but our resistance is often stronger than our willingness. At times our steps falter. At moments we can't even hear your voice, let alone recognize your song in our hearts. Strengthen us with your mercy. Renew us with your grace. Sing to us with your compassion. Connect us with the yoke of unconditional love, that we may follow joyously, dance confidently, and sing praise and love with every act and with every word of our lives. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Loving God, you have made us your people so that we may speak of your wonderful acts. With gratitude for all we have received, we have come to offer our gifts to you.
Thank you.
O God, our fortress and our rock, may these offerings be acceptable to you. In a world facing profound need, they seem insignificant, but we know that in your hands, even small things become great. Use these gifts and use our very lives to make this world a home where all are sheltered, nourished, and cherished. Amen. Berylyn will now be playing hymn number 577, God of Grace.
Send you forth then with this benediction. The God of dreams has brought us together. The God of dreams sends us forth to love one another well. The God of love has knit us together in unity. The God of love sends us forth to heal our divisions. The God of hope sends us forth together. The God of peace sends us forth to bring the world home.